President Donald Trump posted on social media that he plans to issue what he called a complete pardon of Cincinnati Reds legend Pete Rose. But would a presidential pardon pave the way for Major League Baseball's hit king to be admitted into the Hall of Fame? You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me in this recorded interview to talk about how Pete Rose got into trouble in the first place and what a pardon from President Trump could mean is Keith O'Brien, author of the book Charlie Hustle, The Rise and Fall of Pete Rose and the Last Glory Days of Baseball. Welcome back, Keith.
Thanks for having me, Lucy.
Great to have you here. President Trump, as I mentioned, promised to pardon Pete Rose. What are the details of that promise?
We don't know much. The president has said that he would like to issue and will issue a full pardon for Pete Rose's federal crimes. And to remind listeners of what those were, in 1990, Pete Rose pled guilty in federal court to filing false tax returns. These were tax returns filed in the 1980s at the peak of Pete Rose's gambling problem, gambling addiction, and gambling on baseball. And he willingly pled guilty to those crimes. So this is not an issue of injustice or wrongdoing. Pete pled guilty. He served the time. He knew what he had done was wrong. I think what the president is getting at is this notion that many baseball fans have, that Pete Rose has long ago paid for whatever sins he committed and should be, released effectively from the purgatory that he's been in now for some 36 years.
How typical is this kind of presidential pardon?
Wouldn't be the only one, of course. Presidents have this power, and presidents have used this power to pardon all sorts of people over the years. Anyone from people who deserved the pardon for some reason, miscarriage of justice, wrongdoing in the courts, to donors, political friends. So this has happened many times before. So should it happen for Pete Rose, it would not be all that surprising in that sense. However, let's be honest, Pete Rose is a one of one. I believe that, he lived a sports life, frankly, unlike almost any other American athlete in the last 100 years. He was more than just a baseball player, as many Cincinnatians know. He was an American icon. Were Trump to pardon him, it will begin a conversation, and in fact already has begun a conversation, with Major League Baseball about what to do with the other purgatory that Pete Rose has been serving in. And that, of course, is his banishment from Major League Baseball, a banishment that has kept him out of the Hall of Fame voting now for some 34 years.
You mentioned that this conviction for evading taxes happened in the throes of Pete Rose's gambling addiction, his betting on lots of things, including betting on baseball. What did the president have to say about Pete Rose betting on baseball?
I'm not sure what specifically Donald Trump has said about Pete Rose's bets on baseball. What I know, having done the research for my book and having lived inside this story for some 3 years, is that Pete Rose absolutely did bet on baseball. He did it for at least as early as 1986 while he was still a player and a player manager. He did it at a time when he was suffering from gambling addiction. This is something that Pete Rose really didn't want to acknowledge while he was alive. In the course of his life, Lucy, only twice did Pete Rose come even close to acknowledging that he had a gambling addiction. One of those times was in federal court in 1990 there in Cincinnati, when he was basically begging the judge for mercy for his federal tax evasion. At that time, he did say that he had an illness. The only other time that he came even marginally close to acknowledging his addiction was in 2004 when he wrote a very self-serving memoir in which he finally reversed 15 years of lies about what he had done in the 1980s and finally admitted to betting on baseball. In that memoir, he gave sort of a mealy-mouthed half acknowledgement of his addiction. But, I interviewed everyone who was in Pete Rose's inner circle in the 1970s and 80s, from his girlfriends, his mistresses, his wives, the men who placed his bets on baseball. I interviewed three different men, in fact, who placed his bets on baseball. And what I can tell you is, you know, each one of those people who had a front row seat to Pete's life in the 70s and 80s all agreed that he was absolutely addicted to gambling. He could not stop. And, you know, what do addicts do? They diminish, they deny, and they make choices that hurt themselves and others. And that is sadly what Pete Rose did.
One of the things the president said was Pete Rose bet on baseball, but he only ever bet on the Reds to win or his teams to win. Is that true? Is that what your research found?
It is. You know, there is no claim, even by his enemies, and Pete Rose did have enemies, no claim that he ever bet against the Reds, no claim that he ever did anything to throw a game. That said, you know, we have very limited actual, you know, written evidence of his bets on baseball. There is a small batch of bets that are logged in a betting notebook from the spring and summer of 1986. And then there is an additional batch from the spring and summer of 1987. And that batch formed the foundation of Pete Rose's banishment in 1989. So we don't really know what he was betting on and when. We have a very small sample size of his bets. And regardless of whether he was betting only on the Reds to win, that alone, you know, can change the outcome of games and certainly can change the ways other people might have been betting on games. You know, at the time that Pete Rose was betting on baseball in the 1980s, of course, there were no legal gambling apps on our phone. You know, he had to do it through bookies. And illegal bookies. And in the 1980s, every illegal bookie was either in the mob or mafia or on the fringes of the mafia. And whether they were in the mafia or not, no bookie worked alone. That would incur way too much financial risk for the bookie. And so in the hours, in fact, minutes before games, bookies are calling around to each other to even out their bets. And lay off bets with other bookies. And I can assure you that if Pete Rose wasn't betting on a Reds game that night, and there were nights, by the way, when he did not bet on the Reds to win or lose, he just didn't bet at all, that it would have been notable in the world of the bookies without question.
Hmm. Why does Major League Baseball have this rule about gambling anyway?
Well, the rule 21D, which would ensure one's banishment from baseball were one to bet on baseball games, dates back to the 1920s. Many people believe that it has a direct correlation to the Black Sox scandal, in which the Cincinnati Reds were tangentially a part of in the 1919 World Series. But in fact, the rule that assured banishment for any player who bet on the games actually came several years later in the mid to late 1920s after a collection of other gambling scandals. And that is when the rule was put into place. And it was put into place for a very obvious reason, one that's still valid today in a world of legalized gambling. You know, we as fans need to believe that what we're seeing on the television or on the field is real. If and when we begin as fans to question whether what we're seeing is real, the competition is real, well, it's not sports anymore. It's not professional sports anymore. It's professional wrestling. So the rule is important. But, you know, the other rule, Lucy, that really hangs over Pete Rose's head today was not related to Rule 21D. When Pete was banned from baseball in 1989 for placing his bets on baseball, there was no rule in place that barred him from the Hall of Fame. In fact, when Pete Rose agreed to his banishment, and he does agree to his banishment in 1989, he does so fully believing that he will be on the ballot at Cooperstown 2 years later in 1991. It is only in early 1991, about 10 months before Pete's name would have appeared on the ballot, that they changed the rules at the National Baseball Hall of Fame. and say at that time, only players in good standing, only eligible ball players can appear on the ballot. It was effectively the Pete Rose corollary. And that is the rule that has placed us, you know, in this continuing debate 36 years later about what to do with Pete Rose and his Hall of Fame status.
We're talking in this recorded interview about the potential of a presidential pardon for Pete Rose and whether that could pave the way for his induction into the Baseball Hall of Fame. I know Rob Manfred, the current baseball commissioner, has confirmed that he met with President Trump. What do we know about that meeting? Does it seem like it was all about Pete Rose?
It wasn't all about Pete Rose. There are many issues related to Major League Baseball that Rob Manfred would want to discuss with the president. One of them, apparently, was about immigration policy. There are many foreign players who play in Major League Baseball. But certainly, both by the White House's confirmation and the confirmation of Major League Baseball, Pete Rose was part of the discussion. In the weeks before this meeting in the White House between President Trump and Commissioner Rob Manfred, Trump had posted on his social media platforms that he intends to pardon Pete Rose. A federal pardon has nothing to do with the rule I just mentioned before. This rule at the National Baseball Hall of Fame that doesn't permit Pete Rose to be on the ballot. However, you know, were the president to pardon Pete, it would immediately put pressure on Major League Baseball to do something as well. The first phone calls reporters are going to make if and when President Trump pardons Pete Rose will be to Major League Baseball about what they're going to do about him. And it's stunning, really. 36 years after Pete's banishment, several months after Pete's death, Pete Rose remains one of the most controversial topics in baseball. But based on, you know, what I know, we're going to get some clarity here in the coming weeks, possibly days, about what the president and about what Major League Baseball are going to do about Pete Rose.
Well, you mentioned that if the president does issue this pardon, that the first call reporters are going to make is to Major League Baseball asking about a reinstatement. Does that seem to be what this is all about, getting Pete Rose into the Baseball Hall of Fame?
I don't know what the president's motivations are. I have not interviewed him about that. My speculation is that President Trump is touching on something that I believe a lot of baseball fans feel. And I know this because I've, you know, since I wrote my book, Charlie Hustle, a year ago, I've spoken to a great number of audiences and a great number of baseball fans. And most baseball fans that I have spoken with and met with in the last year, you know, believe that Pete long ago paid his price and it's time to remove him from the non-eligible list. And again, were that to happen, he would then be eligible to be voted on into the Hall of Fame. And so I believe that, you know, Donald Trump is tapping into something here that a great number of Americans happen to agree with.
Well, and I know Pete Rose and his supporters have asked repeatedly for him to be reinstated so he could be considered for the Hall of Fame. What's been the response of Major League Baseball over the years?
Pete's been denied every single time. He has been applying for reinstatement since 2004 and that self-serving memoir that he wrote, which reversed 15 years of his lies about what he did in the 1980s. Since 2004, he has applied for reinstatement several times. He himself, on at least one occasion, met with Rob Manfred to discuss his reinstatement. It was denied at that time. What has prompted, you know, this discussion at the major league level is nothing that Donald Trump has done. Pete Rose's first child, Fawn Rose, met with Rob Manfred last winter, you know, making her pitch and her request for reinstatement. And, you know, I was fortunate to have an opportunity to interview Fawn Rose during the reporting of my book. And what I can tell you is, you know, Fawn is very different from her father. You know, she is a self-made woman. incredibly intelligent. You know, I don't know what happened in that meeting with Rob Manfred and Fawn Rose, but my guess is it was a very different conversation than the one that Pete Rose himself would have had with Rob Manfred when he was still alive.
Well, and I had read that Pete Rose's former lawyer, the attorney who'd been representing him in different matters up until his death, had petitioned for reinstatement in January. Is that the same meeting that you're talking about? Was he working with Fawn Rose on that?
I believe so, yes. There is only one pitch for reinstatement. They're all working together.
Do you think reinstatement should happen? I know you said there are a lot of fans out there who think it's time.
One thing that makes my book, Charlie Hustle, different than other things that have been written about Pete Rose is I wasn't here to make a case for him. I wasn't here to make a case against him. You know, I wanted to look at Pete's story through the prism of history, tell that story with unprecedented access and reporting, lay that story out for readers, let people come to their own conclusions. But of course, Lucy, I have thought a lot about it. And, you know, my personal feeling about Pete Rose and any other ne'er-do-well in baseball is this. I think we have frankly lost perspective about what the Hall of Fame is and what it was intended to be. We like to put athletes on pedestals. We like to ascribe moral values to them that we don't even know if they have or should deserve. The fact is, we don't know what we don't know about the people we cheer for. We simply don't know them very well at all. And so for all of those reasons, I believe that the players should be voted into the Hall of Fame or not, based simply on what they did on the field, between the lines. It is the only thing that we actually know for sure. And then if what they did off the field is so wrong, so egregious, then I say let's put it on the plaque at Cooperstown, put their mistakes in bronze for perpetuity for all to see. And so for those reasons, I believe that, you know, Pete should be reinstated and that he should be put up for a vote as every other player would be.
What would it take for that reinstatement to happen?
Essentially, it would take the flick of Rob Manfred's pen. the commissioner in consult with others at Major League Baseball, obviously, can make this decision and reinstate Pete Rose. If he were to do that, Pete Rose would be eligible to appear on the ballot at Cooperstown. However, because it's been 36 years since he's played, the vote would not go out to the writers, the baseball writers of America. He would not be voted on under that process. His case would be reviewed by a veterans committee. And I believe the earliest he could be voted in under the rules of that committee and the timing of that committee would be 2027. So all of these things are news. All of these things, I think, are important to fans and certainly important to the legacy of Pete Rose. But even if Donald Trump pardons Pete Rose and even if Rob Manfred reinstates him, nothing will change overnight. We will just continue to discuss the complicated legacy of Pete Rose with new urgency, knowing that he could, in fact, then be voted into the Hall of Fame.
You know, we've talked about how people have such strong feelings and such strong opinions about Pete Rose, both for him and against him. Do you have any sense about whether the president identifies with him in any way?
Again, I haven't spoken to the president. But, you know, based on what he has said, both on social media and in public appearances in recent years, not just in recent weeks, but in recent years, I do believe that the president identifies in some way with Pete Rose. I think, in fact, Lucy, a lot of Americans identify in some way with Pete Rose. Listen, Pete Rose made a lot of mistakes. He lied about those mistakes. Those mistakes hurt him, hurt his family, hurt his loved ones, hurt his friends. I believe that those mistakes hurt the city of Cincinnati, hurt the Cincinnati Reds, hurt Major League Baseball, hurt lots of people. So it's not insignificant what he did, and I'm not washing that away. But a lot of us have made terrible mistakes. And a lot of people who are in the Hall of Fame, by the way, have made terrible mistakes. And that, I think, is why Pete Rose's case is such a lightning rod all these many decades later.
Any idea when Rob Manfred might make that decision in this case?
I've been trying to find the timing out myself, Lucy. I have not learned anything about timing. Certainly, we know that on May 14th in Cincinnati, Pete Rose will be honored at the ballpark by the Reds, by the city. I know there's a lot of speculation that the decision could come around that time. I guess we'll see.
Well, I've been talking with Keith O'Brien, author of the book Charlie Hustle, The Rise and Fall of Pete Rose and the Last Glory Days of Baseball. Thank you so much for your time today, Keith. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for having me, Lucy.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Harper Carlton. Technical director is Marshall Verbsky. Rob Fetters composed our theme music. I'm Lucy May. Thanks so much for listening.